Welcome to the second in our series of Me-Centered Life. In tonight's study, Pastor Campbell discusses how we follow Jesus.
Invitation to exchange what you are carrying for what Jesus offers in rest and in peace and His yoke, which is a very different load that we are not used to carrying, one that is lighter, one that we can carry with His help. And we looked at that last week. And so tonight we just look at that simple command to follow me. What does Jesus mean with that command, follow me? This call in Scripture is very specific. And Jesus desired it to be to His closest confidants, the ones that were students of faith. We see that this is a general call for those who desire to be a disciple of Jesus as well. And so I want you tonight to understand the seriousness of the call to follow Jesus and really what that commitment demands of us. It is an everyday devotion to follow the Lord, to follow His will for your life, and to just simply give your life to Him, to follow in submission to wherever He would lead you. And so when we understand that, it becomes a deeper, more intimate relationship. And so tonight, I just want to start out with a little bit of an example for you. A firefighter that enters the scene or a house of an intense fire, knowing there are people inside, what does he do? Now, I know there are protocols that he has to do, but he doesn't yell, "Come to my voice." He doesn't yell, or he doesn't say, "Try your hardest, hurry up, figure out how to get out on your own." No, we understand that firefighter is trained and equipped to watch out and assess the dangers, but then to enter in to rescue anybody that is there and to bring them, to allow them to follow me. That firefighter arrives on the scene. He enters that building. He leads people to safety by simply saying, "Follow me. Come on with me." Grabbing, pulling, whatever he has to do to get them out. The same thing. Maybe you've taken a child before on a very busy crosswalk. What do? You're holding to that child with dear life. I know you are. You're holding on with everything, and every move that child makes is under your control. And you just simply say, "Follow me, listen to me, watch, be careful." Those orders to our children allow them to follow us and to stay close to us. Those two images really show what it means to fully trust in the Lord and to follow where He leads us. What is that faith that followed Jesus? What does that truly look like? And how do you consider this call tonight as a personal call for yourself? And I believe that we're only going to scratch the surface in our study together. But do we really desire faith that follows Jesus? Do we desire that kind of faith where Jesus says, "Follow me"? What does that look like? Well, tonight, we're going to learn. We're going to jump around a little bit. I'm just going to warn you. We're going to jump around a little bit more. But we're going to start on Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4, starting with verse number 18. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." When we think of a faith that will follow Jesus, the first point I want you to see tonight is there is a choice that we must consider. There's a choice that we must consider. We see a very familiar call from Jesus to his disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. These are two sets of brothers, and all of them are fishermen. And Jesus extends this call to follow to these sets of brothers. All right? But also in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 9, he would extend the same call to follow me to Levi or to Matthew. Same person, different name. And in John chapter 1, 43, he extends that call to Philip. And that call is simply this: follow me. Now, you all have, many of you all have grown up in church and been around the study of God's word. You know each one of these disciples, what did they do? How did they answer the call? They answered the call by saying yes, right? And we understand that this call was direct, this call had a purpose, and the disciples had a choice. Should they follow? Did they want to follow? And in order to follow Jesus, two things had to happen. First, they had to leave something. And the second thing, they had to be willing to learn something. So the choice to consider, are you willing to leave and are you willing to learn? Matthew chapter 4, both sets of brothers are busy. What are they doing? They're fishing, aren't they? They are in the process of carrying out their day-to-day means of livelihood. We think of fishing in our day as pleasure. You cannot have that picture in your mind. It's not that, okay? It is a means of livelihood, of survival, of providing for their family. That is what these men were doing. And so when they received the call, James and John, they were in the boat with their father, and they were mending their nets when Jesus called. Peter and Andrew, they were in the middle of casting their nets when Jesus called. And I can go down a rabbit hole right here about how we must be busy in the work of God. God calls busy people to do busy work, okay? And these men were active, they were busy, they were working, they were doing their job. And in the midst of them doing their job, Jesus simply comes by and says, follow me. As Jesus called, these four men make a choice that day to leave something. Now, what does that something look like? You may say, Pastor Jeffrey, they just left their nets. No, they left more than their nets. They left their boats, they left their love, they left their jobs, they left their livelihood, they left their families. All to follow Jesus. Now I'm fast forward to 2026. What does that call look like for you? Many of us would say, no, Jesus, I can't do that. The call to follow was a call to leave something. And the Bible says this: an immediate decision was made. It wasn't they had to think it over, they had to pray it over, they had to talk it over. Immediately they left. They dropped their nets and they followed Jesus. I love the story about Philip. Philip goes and tells Nathanael. And you know, Nathanael's response was, can any good thing come from Nazareth, right? Can any good thing come out of that place where Jesus is from? And he went to see this Jesus, but Jesus says this: before Philip called you, under that fig tree, I saw you. That's what Jesus' words to Nathanael were. Before you even came to me, I saw you. And Nathanael responded in a most notable way. And he says, my Savior, my God, you are the Son of God. That was his response. You are the Son of God. But remember that invitation to follow Jesus is more than an invitation of salvation. It's an invitation of commitment to follow Jesus with your life. It is a choice that you must make, and you must make it knowing that you will leave some things behind, some things you dearly love, and you must be willing to leave those things in order to follow Jesus. But you also must be willing to learn some things. Anybody in here know everything? Okay, I'm just making sure. He told Peter and Andrew, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now notice Peter and Andrew didn't say, I know all about that. I can use my experience from here and we can just transfer it over and it'll all work out. No, absolutely not. Now, there may be some things that you that may be similar, but they would no longer give their lives to the sea and to the fish of the sea and to providing physical food for their living. They would begin to offer the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. That would be their sole purpose as they would learn what Jesus, learn about Jesus, learn directly from Jesus, and then share that with every person they would come in contact with. They would now fish for men. Can Jesus take our passions and change them and use them that we can follow Him in a deeper way? Absolutely He can. And so tonight, when we consider that first point tonight of a choice to consider, when we consider that choice to follow Jesus, we understand that yes, God does draw people to Himself, but Jesus, in order to follow Jesus, we have a choice to leave something and learn something. And following Jesus is an ever-learning process. You never know it all. You never have all the answers. If you have all the answers, God's probably ready to take you home. You figured it out. Tonight, the choice you need to consider is am I really following Jesus? It's more than words. It's action. It's a life willing to be given to leave something and learn something from Jesus. There's a second point. I want you to jump over to Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 21 and 22. That's where we're going to start. Matthew chapter 8, verses 21 and 22. While you are turning there, the second point tonight, as we think about following Jesus, is not only is there a choice to consider, but there is a cost to count. There's a cost to count. How many of you know it costs you something to follow Jesus? And as we understand that together, I want to say that something as directly as I can. Following Jesus is more than praying a prayer and then returning back to your old ways, your old life. You can't just copy the words from a pastor and think, okay, I'm going to make it. And there's been a hard and a tough line that I necessarily disagree with sometimes, that you can pray this prayer and you're going to be all right. There's a lot of people that have said words, they didn't mean them when they said them, and they think they're okay, but they're not. If following Jesus is that easy, I don't want it. Because there's a cost. There's a cost to follow Jesus. And so just because people say some words and then live a lifestyle that is against God, that breaks my heart. Because that's not salvation. And I say that with all tenderness and gentle as I can. When we think of a cost that must be counted, following Jesus, you have to lose something. And you have to live for something. You have to lose something, and you have to live for something. That's what you do when you count the cost. And so tonight, when we think about losing something, look at Matthew 8, 21 and 22. Actually, I'm going to back up. I'm going to read 19 through 22. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. This first example that we see tonight, it seems harsh. But there's some questions here. Was this guy's father really dead? I don't think so. Maybe he was in the process of dying. But if his father was dead, he would have been with his family. He wouldn't have been standing before Jesus. But what he says is this, I've got to bury my father. And Jesus' response is somewhat harsh. But what we see here is there comes a cost. This disciple should have been with his family if his father was really dying. But the way I have interpreted this section of Scripture is this. A warning to those who make quick promises and a warning to those who are reluctant to make a promise. So that's why I read the whole section. You see the first in verse number 19, there's a scribe that comes and says, Master, I'll go wherever you go. And Jesus says, guess what? The foxes don't have a place to live. The fox have a place to live. The bird have a place to live. But I don't have nowhere to lay my head. Are you willing to do that? So before you say, yes, I'll go anywhere with you, you better count the cost. So the person that commits way too soon, that's the first example. And then there's the one that drags his feet. That says, oh, I got some things to take care of first before I can truly follow you. And this is a stern warning for both of those. Don't be too quick to commit to something that you can't live up to. And don't drag your feet and wait too long, or you may never make that commitment. That's the warning here. So when we think about counting the cost, we may be reluctant, or we may be quick to jump on what Jesus asked us to do. But I want you to know, when we follow Jesus, there are going to be some things that become dead to us. Example in my own life. I'm a sports guy. I love sports. I used to umpire baseball. I used to coach baseball. I used to live and breathe baseball, right? Some of you have done that too. But the more I follow Jesus, the less important those things became. Now, I want to tell you this. I'd love to go back to the baseball field tomorrow. But that's not where God wants me in this season. I'm not saying baseball is dead to me. I'm just saying following Jesus became way more important than a ball. There are some things when you follow Jesus, things that you really love, that are going to have to take a backseat to following Jesus. And Jesus is going to come before those things. There's a cost. Jump over to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What does it mean when we take up our cross and follow Jesus? We look at this cost that we must count. And Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to be killed, and he's going to suffer, be killed, and rise on the third day. The cross was the way that he must go. It was the way that he knew that he had to travel. It was the Father's will for his life, and this could not be avoided. To follow Jesus, you must deny yourself, deny your will, and take up what the Lord has for your life. And follow. There will be times we endure things because we follow Jesus. Are we willing to take up the Father's will for our life? What He desires for our life, and simply follow. Matthew 19, 21. I know I'm going through these a little fast. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. This man asked a question. What can I do to inherit eternal life? And the young man's possessions stand in the way. And Jesus recognizes that. And Jesus wants this young man to recognize that and get rid of that which stands in the way of fully following, fully submitting to Jesus. And Jesus simply says this, you've got to lose something. You've got to get rid of something in order to follow me. So, maybe it's our timeline that stands in the way. Maybe it's what we want. God, I'm not ready yet. Or we jump the gun. We say we're ready and we're really not ready. We don't mean what we say. That was the first example. The timeline gets in the way of following Jesus. Maybe our own wants and wishes get in the way. Maybe our stuff stands in the way of truly following Jesus. Listen, in order to truly follow Jesus, you must lose something. But also, the other side of the coin is then you have to live for something. And I want to change that wording by saying this, you must live for someone. Galatians 2:20, I'm just going to go straight there. I've got a couple other scriptures here, but I'm going to go to Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 says this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What a verse of scripture. There's a change right there. There's something to live for in that verse. Ephesians talks about the old man that dies and the new one that lives. There's something to live for when you follow Jesus. And that someone is allowing Jesus to lead your life. The daily grind, the battle of the old man and the new, as we put on the old and the old is taken off, we are able then to live for Jesus. So when we talk about following Jesus, you lose some things. You get rid of the things that stand in the way of truly surrendering and following Jesus. And then you just run and you live for Jesus. The crucified Christ is who you look to as you live your life. As we think about faith that follows, there's a choice to consider, there's a cost to count, and there is a course to be committed to. Following Jesus is something that takes commitment. I want you to jump over to the Gospel of John, if you will. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Verses 36 through 38. Now remember, who was one of the first brothers to say, yes, I'll follow Jesus? Peter and Andrew, right? Peter was in that, right? Peter said, yes, I'll follow. Dropped his nets, began to follow. And that's something that takes commitment. He followed, he dropped the nets, took off. In John 13, we pick up some familiar scripture. And Simon Peter says unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered, will thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. So Peter, remember, he dropped his nets immediately to follow Jesus. And now we get to a point where he's trying to figure out, Lord, what's going on? Where are you going? Jesus has told him that he's getting ready to die. He will leave for a little while. And he tells Peter that you can't follow me now, but you're going to follow me afterwards. You can't follow me now. I'm going to my death. After that, I'm going to rise again, and you can follow me afterwards. And what does Peter say? Peter says this, why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. I truly believe Peter meant that. Though he didn't understand, he truly meant it. And he really didn't know what was about to happen. Jesus says this, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Now I know we give Peter a hard time. But how many times have we dropped our nets and we said, Jesus, we're going to follow you. And then in a different season of our life, when things become busy or things get hectic, guess what? That commitment has changed. That commitment's changed. Many of us have had children. Man, life changes when we have children, doesn't it? But guess what? God doesn't. Our commitment to God shouldn't. We get busy at jobs and work and promotions. Somehow, those things went over us following Jesus. And so tonight, when we think about a course that we need to be committed to follow Jesus was a commitment that was more than words and more than feelings. Peter's words were powerful. They were on point. But here's the reality. They were not true. And Jesus knew it. Jesus says, you can't follow me. You're going to deny me. You know the story. And I love the story of Peter. And I'm thankful that he is one of the disciples. We get to see the course of his life on the pages of Scripture. I'm glad my life is not on the pages of Scripture for you to read. I'm just going to say that. We hit the fast forward button, and you can go there if you want to. I'm not going to kind of read all of it for time's sake. But in John chapter number 21, guess what Peter's doing? I'll tell you so you don't have to read it. He's fishing. He's back out fishing again. He's on the boat. Jesus has been crucified, has resurrected, and Peter is on the boat fishing. He's back doing what he loves, where we found him when Jesus called him to follow. Jesus is on the shore and, you know, they aren't catching anything. You know the story. The voice from the shore says, cast the net on the other side. They do it, and guess what? They rake in a haul of fish. All this is in John chapter number 21. And when we understand that, or when they understand that it was Jesus' voice, John says that it is Jesus. John tells Peter it's the Lord, it's the resurrected Jesus. And what does Peter do? Peter jumps off the boat. He doesn't even wait for the boat to get aground. He jumps off the boat into the water, makes his way to shore because he needs to get to Jesus. As Jesus is there, he begins to teach Peter. And he asks Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? Instructs Peter to feed the lambs and feed his sheep. And then he has a simple command for him. Look in John chapter 21. Verse number 19. Let me do this. I'm going to read verses 18 and 19. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walked whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Here's what happened. Jesus tells Peter, you're going to die. You're going to die, and they're going to crucify you in similar fashion than what they did me. When you were young, you could do whatever you want to. You could go where you wanted to. You could do what you want to. But when you become older, guess what? They're going to take you, and they're going to put you on this cross, and they're going to kill you, Peter. And here's what Jesus says. Follow me. Did Peter fully understand what Jesus was saying there? I don't think so. But with that command, the circle becomes full. And in verse 22, just Peter, just follow me. Tonight, maybe you've hit a rough patch. Maybe the season that you're in is a busy season. Hectic, a lot of things going on. Jesus just simply says this, follow me. Follow me. There's a course that your life is on right now, just like Peter. that needs to be committed to the Christ who loves you so. Follow me is not a command just for part of your life, not just for the beginning of your life. Follow me is not an instruction just for when you get saved. Follow me is a lifelong commitment. It is a course that you must be committed to. As Peter shows us, even when we fail, there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And he simply wants us to follow. There's some words that I need to show you tonight before we close our study. And I believe they are some of the most heartbreaking words in all the Bible. They're in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 66. I know these three sixes make some of your hair stand up. Luckily, I don't have hair that stands up, okay? John 6, 66. Listen to these words. Jesus was teaching some hard things. They couldn't understand. There were some that could not understand it. And John 6, verse 66 says this, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." They quit following. It was too hard. And so tonight, we end this study tonight by encouraging you to count the cost. Yes. Yes. When you say yes to Jesus, that yes must truly be a yes. It must be a lifelong commitment to follow him. We don't always know what's going to happen. We know that things are going to come up in our walk with him that are going to test and try us. But you can't turn back when it gets hard. And so tonight, there's a hymn that we're going to sing here in just a few minutes. And you know the words. Some of you probably sung it hundreds of times in your lifetime. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. That's what it means to follow Jesus. No matter where he leads you, no matter what he asks you to go, give up, no matter where he asks you to go, the answer is yes, Jesus, because I'm surrendered to following you. Our following of Jesus grows us in our walk and our discipleship with Jesus, should grow us in our denial of self, and should grow us in the doing of his work. If I could sum it up, I could sum this sermon up real quickly with these words. To follow Jesus means this. Number one, Jesus, I trust you. Number two, I'll turn from my ways, myself, and I'll follow you. Jesus, I'll take up my cross. Whatever you ask me to do, and I'll follow you. Tonight, that's the invitation. The me-centered life lays down our life to simply follow the one who gave himself for us. Tonight, if you do not know Jesus, my prayer is this. The Holy Spirit is wrestling with your soul right now. If you're not truly following Jesus, listen, you know it without a shadow of doubt, and it's not the preacher twisting your arm, it's the Holy Spirit telling you. Tonight, surrender that to the Lord and follow Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for a family of believers that gathers together, desiring you, Lord, to lead us and to change our lives continually. God, deep down inside, Lord, we understand that we want to follow you. And so, Lord, the areas that are hindering that, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just bring them to our minds, to our hearts, that we can surrender them at the foot of your cross. Lord, tonight, as we think about that command for the first disciples to follow, Lord, what a command for us to continue to walk and to continue to grow and to continue to learn. Lord, we desire that. Continue to teach us, Lord. Change us, Lord, we pray. Tonight, as we surrender those areas, those things that hinder us, our complete sacrifice to you, God, I pray, Lord, that you will lead and guide and direct as only you can. My prayer tonight is that we will heed this invitation. Last week was to come. This week is to follow. Whatever you ask us to do, Lord, show us that you will take care of us. Lord, as we sing this hymn tonight, as a reminder of our commitment to you, Lord, we do want to go with you all the way. Lord, keep our eyes on you, we pray. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number is 288. 288. As we sing. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me.